Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to From Pain to Purpose Podcast with your host, Dr. Ava Eagle Brown, on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything? Recycle your pain to live your best life. Listen on the Bashani app and syndicated worldwide on every platform where podcasts are played. Sponsored by themangogirl.com with skincare products that will have you glow from head to toe. Go to themangogirl.com.
This is Dr. Ava Eagle Brown with Pain to Purpose Podcast live on Bashani Radio, coming to you live again from New York City. And you guys know we're always talking about everything. Now, last week I talked about mango as my daily bread, and I really hope that you guys have been writing in your journals. And if you haven't gotten one, make sure you go onto Amazon and get a copy, or email us and let us know if you've struggled with that. And so I really hope that you are able to understand that sometimes the things that we think came to kill us are things that are there to actually save us. And as a Christian, I have this saying that I use very often, that God doesn't take you through the dirty water to kill you or to drown you, but he takes you there to purge you and renew you. Today, I'm going to talk about something that's a bit emotional for me, actually. And if I cry, don't be shocked, because it's really something that has impacted me for a long time. And as I go through this season, you're going to realize that throughout my journey, I have struggled with a lot of things. I am very vulnerable. I'm very open. I am very naked. I don't mean literally I'm naked. And I do that because I feel that it frees me, but I also think that it strengthens somebody else. And if I can pass on something that can just help you to cross over, then I'd be really delighted. If this podcast is helping you, please do let us know. We want to know what you want to hear us talk about, because we want to make sure that we're inspiring, but we're healing you at the same time, and we're demonstrating how people move on from pain to purpose. Because I know a number of you that are listening to this are stuck in that pain space, and Bashani and myself are really wanting to help you cross over to living your best life. Now, abandonment is something I've struggled with a lot. I say the word and I just have tingles all over my body. And if I think back to the first time I felt abandoned, was, first of all, when my mom told me that my dad didn't want me. That made me feel really abandoned. Because I couldn't, as a parent now myself, I couldn't understand how you could actually have a child and you don't want that child. Because I love my kids so much, I'm a single mother with them both, but I just cannot imagine not wanting them, no matter what. And so when my mom told me that my dad didn't want me, that really, really bothered me. And I grew up as a child with that feeling of abandonment. But when my mother gave me away to my stepmother and my father, I didn't understand that. I was like, there's something wrong with me. There's got to be something really wrong. Why? Not only did my father not want me, but my mom. And I kind of grew up feeling that it was a case that she had this new relationship and I was in the way. So I felt like that third leg. Although I had siblings, I just was conscious that I was different. I had a different surname. I did most of the chores. I was the one who went to sell mangas. And remember, I'm a child. So that's how you perceive it. But when she gave me away and nobody came to see where I went, I felt really abandoned. I felt like she discarded me. And I remember even when going back before that step, I remember when the people in the community would ask and they would mock me about who was my father, and because I had my mom's surname for a long time. And my sisters and brothers had their father's name, so I was the odd one out. So I grew up feeling the odd one out. And I remember when the children would pull my hair at school and they would push me into the cane field and they would beat me up and they would just bully me and I would just take it because I felt abandoned. And I remember when I went home one day and I asked my mom, so there was all this bickering and gossiping that the man who used to send me to the shop, who actually, as I told you in episode one, was my father, and or the first show that was my father. I remember when I went home one day and asked my mom, like, "Mom, is it true that, you know, this man who actually lived, and I'm not exaggerating, he lived about 30 steps, let me go further, probably 100 steps from our house. So he was our very first neighbor. The first house I would see when I leave my house, my one-room shack, would be his." And I remember asking my mom if he was my dad, as people were saying. And the beating my mom gave me was so intense that I describe it in my book, The Manga Girl, that it cut, she literally cut my tongue off and I became mute, figuratively speaking. And I felt abandoned again. I felt abandoned feeling that, you know, all my siblings know who their dad was, and I was the one who just didn't know. So it was in that moment, actually, and I remember the very first time I wrote my first ever piece that now became a part of my book, The Manga Girl. I remember leaving the one-room shack. There was some coffee trees. You know, the Caribbean is very famous for coffee. So it was my house, the coffee trees, and then my father's house. And I remember going to the coffee bush and taking out pieces of paper and literally started writing all the questions I had for my mom. I was angry because I felt like you should answer me. I didn't ask to come into the world. You brought me into the world. So it was your responsibility to answer my questions. Now, of course, I didn't think of it so intelligently then, but, you know, I'm just reflecting, and that's what I felt, that you should answer me. And I remember started writing and asking the questions that I would love to ask my mom. And I would hide it in little carry plastic bags. In Jamaica, we have some black plastic bags because Caribbean people are very nosy. So when you went to the shop, you didn't want anybody to know that you couldn't afford to buy a whole pound of saltfish, but you could buy a quarter pound, or you couldn't buy a whole bag of flour. You could buy, you know, 8 ounces or whatever. So you'd hide it in that black bag. You don't want any nosy neighbor to see your business. So we call them scandal bags. And so I started writing, and I'd put my notes in that scandal bag because it was plastic and so it was waterproof. And I started hiding that bag under stones, various places in and around our house because I had so many questions and nobody wanted to talk to me. Because remember, I grew up in the era where kids were seen and not heard. I don't know if anybody can relate to that part of feeling abandoned, or I don't know if you've ever been abandoned in your life, but abandonment gives so much pain. I had to close my eyes just now as I recorded this because there were so much tears. Because even now, just thinking about them kind of hurt. I mean, it's not with the same severity, but it does hurt. Have you ever felt abandoned in your life? How does that feel? Like, you know, all of us go through abandonment period in one way or another. Most of us have had that kind of experience. And it really can leave a scar. It can leave pain. It can leave hurt. And it can actually trigger you to do some things. I work with a lot of women and men and young children in the past. And when I was a teacher, because I taught in Jamaica and in the UK, and a lot of kids who ended up in foster care, and I'm not saying all, but I've come across a number of them who felt abandoned. And they felt like, you know, they didn't belong, or they felt like nobody wanted them. And through that abandonment, you have behavioral issues. And I remember even in high school, as I spoke to you guys about earlier in one of the previous recordings, that I was acting up in school because I felt abandoned. And so it instilled in me that thing that I will always be there for my kids. And even when they drive me mad, and they do, they're not perfect. And as a single mother, it's even harder. But I would never abandon my kids. They will always know that they're loved, and that there's the door is always open. And no matter what it is, you can always come to mommy. And those are my first stages of abandonment. But let me go further. When my father abused me, him and my stepmother broke up years later, and he left me in the house. He moved out, and he left me. I want you to get that. My father took me from my mother to live with my stepmother and himself and his family. They broke up, and he left me. So I'm like, okay. And he left me, and I paid my way by being the helper in that house. So I kind of felt like, well, this is how I pay my way. I'm a child. I was like 13 years old. But what made it worse was when my stepmother now decided in her mind that I had to pay my way even more, and started putting me on the veranda in short shorts. So even till today, I don't wear short shorts. I don't care which husband's going to come and marry me. I am putting on no short shorts, okay? Because I just don't like the feeling that it makes me feel. And she would put me on the veranda. And there's one specific married man that, looking back through a child's eyes, he had money, and she would put me there for him to feast on. And she would lock the doors and leave me on the veranda. Now, her father was there, so there's a grandfather around. Her children were there, so there was her son, my little brother, and her daughter, and she didn't care. And she'd put me on the veranda, literally. And I'd be telling her that he's doing this and that. She didn't care. I felt abandoned. I felt abandoned by my father who left me. I felt abandoned when my stepmother put me on the veranda and left me. And I just kept, you know, can you imagine growing up with all of that abandonment and feeling like it's you? There's something really wrong with you. And I remember running away from my stepmother's house and deciding, well, let me go back actually. I remember I was about 14, 15, and there this Christmas, there's a summer, there was a summer fete, summer party, and I met a guy, liked him, teenager, having interesting guys. And I remember meeting the guy and telling my stepmother about it. I was so excited. And I remember he lived in Kingston, and we lived in a particular place in Jamaica, and my father and my stepmother had broken up, but she would go visit her sister in Kingston. And this guy and I were in touch with each other. He was from Kingston, would write, would, you know, correspond. And I, in my mind, he's my boyfriend. That's how I think. He was a bit older. I think now, if I'm really honest, now that would be considered pedophilia, actually. Didn't understand that then. And I remember my stepmother was gone often, and I thought nothing of it. She's going to see her sister. She's seen my dad. They're trying to resolve their issues. Dad's going to come back in the house. There'll be some stability. I probably won't have to do so much work. That's my mind's thoughts. And I remember the Christmas that preceded from that summer, my stepmother said she's having a visitor for Christmas. Now, because I'm the helper, I knew I'm going to do more work. And daddy and her are not together, so who could it be? So in my mind, she had a new boyfriend. And I know some of you are there thinking, what's going to happen next? Some of you might be right. And I remember the car drove up, and the person disembarked, and you would never guess, drum roll, who came out of the car? The same guy I met the summer before. Are you for real? Are you for real? I needed a woosah moment. Like, really? And it dawned on me that my stepmother and this guy were having a relationship. Now, if I'm honest, he was nearer to being my age than he was to being her age. And she took him into the house. And what happens next, I'll tell you. Let's take a break. So guys, I know you must be there wondering, oh my God, some of you are so glued to this right now. You're thinking, no, this is like a movie. I know. My book should become a movie, right? And I remember she took him into the house, took him into her room, and I had to go and get his bags. And, you know, he was there to stay. It's Christmas. And we have something in Jamaica called Grand Market. And my stepmother sent us for the first time. I was in charge and we were going to the Grand Market. Now, I want to go back to that moment when the guy came. I felt abandoned. I felt abandoned by whom I'm not sure whether it was my stepmother or the boy, but I was abandoned again. Anyway, we're going to Grand Market and we went there. And Grand Market in Jamaica is this festival before Christmas, like a market where everybody come out to sell their last things for Christmas. But it was almost like a nice, you know, fete, a Christmas fair. And it's amazing. It's a nice thing to do. COVID means we can't do it this year, but it's amazing. I love it. And we're on our way back in the night. I mean, my stepmother would never let us out so late. And we're on our way back. And somehow a car was honking for us. And lo and behold, it was my father. He's coming home for Christmas. Are you for real, for real? Now, this could be a drama series, y'all, because my dad's coming home for Christmas. And I was about 13, 14 years old, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen now? Like, this is crazy. We got into the car, and we're heading home, and nobody said anything. That's me, my brother, my stepbrother, my stepsister. We're heading home. Grandfather there, but he's gone to bed. My stepmother and her new boyfriend is there. And are there, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Well, what happened next is my other state of abandonment. My father came, we went into the house, and my father had added a room. They had a really massive room, their own, like an apartment onto the old house. So there's a separate key, separate entrance, separate everything. And the door that connected that was on the old house. And so we snuck in and my stepmother wouldn't open the door for my father. And I felt abandoned for my father. I felt the abandonment he felt because it seemed as though when she was going to Kingston to visit, she was still seeing him. And he's coming home for Christmas to make it up. And I think he had shopping and everything. And I remember my dad and my stepmother had a really nasty fight. It was terrible. The whole neighborhood came out that night and my father left and he left me again. He left me again. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You just left this house. It's clear you guys are over. This time is finita, tetelestai. You're not coming back. You should take me with you. But he didn't. And I just wondered how much more abandonment. I was abandoned after abandoned after abandoned, abandoned, abandoned. And I remember thinking, no, I can't stay here any longer. So things got really bad at my stepmother's house. And I wanted to run away. And I thought, I'm going to go to my mom. Like, what safer place to go? My kids know. My daughter, she's 23 almost, and she knows that. Even though she has a lot of pride and I love her very much, she is a Gemini. She doesn't want to always come back home. She knows in her core that no matter what happens, I'm going to be her ride or die. She can come home. And I remember running away to my mom's house. My stepmother took away every piece of garment that she gave me, every piece of clothing she gave me, she took it back. I left her with nothing. And I had some nice clothes. And I remember going to my mom's house and I couldn't tell my mom all that was going on. But I remember my mom saying that I must go back to my stepmother's house. Because to be fair to my mom, and I don't want you to judge her, I didn't tell her everything because I just felt like I couldn't. Part of why I couldn't tell my mom was that my mom and my dad were still having a little bit of an affair. It's crazy, I know. And I love my mom, so please don't judge her. She was young. So I didn't feel like I could trust her to tell her everything. Isn't that dangerous? So my mom said I was to go back. And I'm like, I'm not going back. I'm adamant I'm not going back. So again, I felt abandoned. And I went to my high school. And there were two friends that were from the south side of St. Elizabeth. And one of them took me home to stay in her house for a little bit. It wasn't comfortable. And I remember going back to school and I had nowhere to live. And for about 2 weeks, I would leave school every day with everybody pretending that I'm going home. And then when the coast was clear, I proceeded back to school and I stayed there for 2 weeks living. Only the caretaker knew that I was sleeping in that school. I was homeless, teenager homeless. And I remember an aunt of mine heard what was going on because somebody in the school knew her and told her, and she took me to her house. And my aunt lived in a little box. It was a box. It was myself, herself, her husband, her two children. It wasn't going to work. And when that happened, I just felt like, I actually felt suicidal growing up a lot. And I remember I was at my auntie's house and she said to me, you know what? You can't stay here. She loved me. My auntie loved me. She said, you can't stay here. It's not ideal for you. I was 15 years old and I was wet in my bed. I was 15 in year 10 in high school and I was wet in my bed. And I remember my auntie took me up literally like a parcel from UPS and took me to a garage or a garage. So I don't know what you guys call it in America, but it's where you take your car to get it serviced. I live in the UK, so it's garage for us. And I'm actually as I speak about this right now, I'm taken back there. And it was a Saturday morning, I never forget. And she took me there to meet somebody I have never met in my life, another man. Now by this, I have a fear of men. And she took me there and she handed me over to this man. And she said, this is your uncle. By the way, by my dad's side. And all kind of fear and trepidation and anxiety. I felt like I was going to wet myself. And she just handed me over like a package from UPS. So the doorbell rings, you answer, you take it. And it's handed over. My mom and my auntie just left me. And nobody came again to see where I was going. And I remember going into his car. And the reason for her giving me to him was because he had more money. He was richer. He had sugarcane fields. He had, you know, slot machines and stuff. He was rich. And again, I was abandoned. I was handed over. And I felt I was so anxious. This is another man I'm going to go and live with. My God. And I remember driving in his Lada. It was a red Lada car, L-A-D-A. And I kept looking at trees and just stuff for landmark because I'm going somewhere I don't know. Nobody came. Nobody came to see where I was going. Nobody. Nobody cared. Nobody, I don't know, like, I don't even let my kids go to places I don't know the people. Like, I'm really serious like that. And it's made me a bit protective of my kids. And probably I've been overprotective. I don't know. My kids are probably the best. My daughter would tell you that I was very overprotective. And, you know, Chardonnay, if you're listening, you know, baby mommy just was coming from her own experiences. And I went to my uncle's house and I was afraid. I was afraid that he was going to abuse me. I was afraid that he was going to treat me badly. I was afraid. And could you blame me? And I remember he lived next door, his brother, who was not really my relative. And they had two daughters. And I remember this was the first time I was 15 years old. And it was the first time in my life that I had my own room. And though it should feel exciting and, oh my God, I was scared. Have you ever wanted something so badly that when it actually shows up, you're scared? That was me. Because all the time I was sharing room with somebody or the other, I grew up on mattresses that had urine inside of it or mattresses that were really urine infested or mattresses that had the springs into your skin, and all of that. And I was now in my own room for the first time, and I was afraid, right? Because it was another man, and I was afraid that he was going to abuse me. And I remember my uncle treating me with such love and such care that today, I spoke to him 2 days ago. He was the best thing that happened to me. And it was hard to overcome that fear, because that fear and trepidation was there. I overcame that fear through, I prayed. Christianity was always around me. Jamaica has the most squares per church mile, churches per square mile. So I grew up around church. I grew up in that house where my uncle was. I had one of his nieces from the other brother come to stay with me at nights. I locked my door. But I started spending time around my uncle in the daytime, and I started having conversations with him. He actually engaged me in conversation for the first time an adult ever did. And he wanted to know what was my plan for my future. He wanted to know. He was reassuring me that, you know, he's going to look after me. And he seemed sincere. And I started gradually learning to trust him. And then he got a girlfriend, and I felt comfortable around them. And my uncle started to teach me to drive, and I was better in school. And I was now in school and talking to my teachers, and I was doing some sexual education classes, and we had a guidance counselor. So I started to open up. And by talking, my fears were going, and I was still writing. So my diary, when you read the Mango Girl book today, that was the experience of a child and what I was going through. And that's how I overcame that fear as a child, right? I literally started opening up, started writing more, started talking, started learning to trust my own instincts, and started learning to trust my uncle. And it was through that that I gradually started to learn to trust men again, trust people again. And my uncle turned out to be a good thing for me. It was in that house that I, for the first time since I left my mother's house when she gave me to my father, that I started feeling less abandonment. And if I thought that was where it stopped, you know, I was now in high school. I was about to wrap up my final exams, finish high school, and I wanted to go to college. I wanted to become a lawyer. I've always wanted to be a barrister. That was my dream. And I know some of you are saying, why is it too late? It's not too late. Some of you are saying, but it's not too late. I don't want to do it anymore. My dream changed. And I remember getting up one morning and saying, I'm going to try and find my dad. He was living in Kingston again. And I literally decided to go and find him again. I'm that girl. I give you another chance. And I went to find my dad. And I remember when I found him, I was 16 years old. I had just finished high school. And I wanted to go to college. I wanted to go and study. And I remember finding my dad, and I asked him, I expressed to him that I wanted to give him another chance in my life. I wanted to go to high school, go to college. And my father told me that I was old enough. I was 16. I never forget this. Wherever you are in your grave, I forgive you. And he said, you're old enough to find a boyfriend. And I told myself, that's the last time you ever speak to me like that. That I would never, ever give you the chance to do that to me again. I felt abandoned again. And I was able to pick myself up. And, you know, I'm not even going to go into how I got into college. But I got into college. You have to read that in my book, The Mango Girl. And when I got to college, I couldn't get in because I did not pay any school fees. I actually was told by somebody that I'm going to get you in. So I believed in somebody. And you know what? In that moment, I mean, in retrospect, I'm realizing that I learned faith. I learned that God is with me. I learned that I was made for bigger things. Because if you found out how I ended up in college, you'd be shocked. You'd be like, oh my God, like God watches over this girl. But I remember being at college and just not having anywhere to go when college was finished. I had nowhere to live because my uncle had migrated and I had no home. I'm embarking on the biggest life-changing decision in my life. I'm in college, I'm in university, and I had nowhere to live. We were living on campus, and when exams were finished and people were going home for Christmas, I had nowhere to live. I had nowhere. I was living on campus. And a little bit of abandonment feelings were there because I'm living on campus. Everybody was excited to go home for Christmas, excited to go home for summer. I spent some of my time living on campus. And then when my house mother decided that I couldn't stay there, I had to go and rent somewhere to live. And even as an adult, I got married to a man who abandoned me. And I think there's the remnants of that abandonment that linger around me sometimes. And abandonment is real. So for those of us who've listened to this today, and, you know, I just wanted to share that bit of my life with you. And I promised you vulnerability. I promised you honesty. For those of us who are listening to me right now and you are struggling, or it's rehashed, and or you didn't realize that you had some abandonment issue, I want you to really think about it. And I want you to literally decide that staying in that space is a choice. I want you to get out your journal, and if you haven't gotten yours already, please get yours on Amazon. And I want you to go in there, and I want you to write about your abandonment, and I want you to literally speak to it. Write how you feel. Let it come out. Because you have no space in your life for that feeling to tarry. And for those who are listening and you're abandoning your children, I want you to understand the impact and the pain it causes. But here I am. I'm using my own story of abandonment to share with you. This is why this podcast is about pain to purpose. I want to leave you with one nugget today. And that nugget is that sometimes when people abandon you, it's for your own good. Probably if I weren't abandoned, I wouldn't be as resilient as I am today. There's always a teaching or a learning. And some of the tools that abandonment has given to me are invaluable. So don't knock it. Always. I say that don't fight against the waves. Try to use the waves to carry you there. I've used my abandonment to carry me to the space I am today. And I want you to do the same. Until next time, thank you for listening to Pain to Purpose on Bashani Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Ava Eagle Brown. And really, really remember always that Pain to Purpose is a show that's focused on how people recycle their pain to start living their best lives. Until next time, I'll see you soon.
Welcome to From Pain to Purpose podcast with your host, Dr. Ava Eagle Brown on Bashani Radio in New York City. Always talking about everything? Recycle your pain to live your best life. Listen on the Bashani app and syndicated worldwide on every platform where podcasts are played. Sponsored by TheMangoGirl.com with skincare products that will have you glow from head to toe. Go to TheMangoGirl.com.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.